Read down to the 8th verse. It says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet here of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for your message. I want to thank you for these testimonies all throughout the month, Lord. Lord, you have blessed this church with a pastor, a true pastor, Lord, one who cares, who loves. And I'm thankful, Lord, that in your wisdom, you placed my wife and I here in this church, so that we could grow closer to you. I ask, Lord, that you would bless the message, your word tonight, and that each heart, every heart here, would walk away knowing how to walk closer with you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, the Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is a pretty familiar chapter in the Bible. I don't know about y'all, but I've probably heard about 20, 30 messages from it. I'm looking at it from a different point of view. I think it's not anything new. That's not what I'm saying. I just saw something different here. The men that preached, Dave Johnson and I, we asked them to bring a message of appreciation, a pastor appreciation. That's what it's about. Something to do with appreciating a pastor. And it's been said many things, but tonight I want to focus on, and if I had to title this message, I guess I would title it The Man or the Apes. And we'll get to the apes in a minute. But this is familiar. It's king of Israel, which is Ahab. It's not mentioned by name in those first 8 verses, but we're going to find out later that it is Ahab, who is a wicked king. And he's trying to get Jehoshaphat to come fight with him. And there's reasons for that, and we're going to get to those. But let's just, by way of me setting up the message, let me introduce these characters. First, we have Jehoshaphat. If you know anything about the Bible, which we should all know something about the Bible, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Now, just so we all understand, we had a whole Israel. David and Solomon ruled all of Israel, and so did Rehoboam up until a point. Because he was so evil, and because of what Solomon himself even did, the kingdom was split. There's 2 tribes to the south, 10 tribes to the north. 10 tribes to the north, that's up, was Israel. The 2 tribes to the south, that's down, was Judah. I want you to look at something here in the verse, and it is verse 2, and it says, And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Well, now, if Judah is south of Israel, which is north, how does he go down? We're going to inspect that in a little bit. That's the first thing I want you to notice. The second person here, well, let me tell you what the Bible says about Jehoshaphat. Let's look in, chapter 22 and verse 43. And this is what it's saying about Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. It says, and he, verse 43 says, and he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father, and he turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken down. I'm going to stop right there. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. It's talking about Asa there, which is his father. If you turn over to chapter 16, I want to say verse 15, and verse... Is it 16? Yeah. Look at my notes here. I have them for a reason, I guess. 15 and verse 11, it says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. They did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. You would say they were godly. If you turn over to, and don't turn over there, but if you read 2 Chronicles, chapter 18 and 19, it tells you about Jehoshaphat. The story is basically repeated there, but it tells you about all the things that he did and how God blessed him because he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Was he perfect? No. Then we got this other character. And I'm not meaning any disrespect to King Ahab. His name is in the Bible. And God does talk about him. He's the king of Israel. We got these children here. Let's just read what it says about it. Chapter 16, verse 30. Chapter 16 is where Asa's reign begins. And it says about Ahab in verse 30. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Wow. What a statement. But hold that thought. You say, well, maybe all the kings before him were good. And so he did something wrong and God's saying he's evil. It says about his father in 16, verse 25. 16, verse 25, it says, but Omri, that's Ahab's father, wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. Wrought. Anybody know what that means? That means you work at it. You strive for it. You push for it. You expend energy toward it. He didn't just do it accidentally. He worked at doing things that were evil. That is... Now, that's Omri. Ahab did above him evil. It's another message, but, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I wonder how many sons didn't have good fathers. That's another message. Let's move on. There's another group here. Let me tell you a little bit more about Ahab before we move on. From the very beginning, if you look there in verse 30, it's the very beginning of his reign. And it says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. From the very beginning, he determined, I'm going to do evil. There was no question about it. I'm going to do it. He moves on. And we know that he moves on from there to do evil because then he marries Jezebel. Anybody know anybody named Jezebel? Anybody know anybody named Jezebel? Any woman named Jezebel? That name is synonymous with evil. Now, don't take my word for it. He married Jezebel, whom historians and Bible scholars say they all believe that she was the daughter of a false god priest. Wow. This from an Israelite marrying a false god's priest's daughter. And his name, the priest's name, was Ethbaal. Now, he was king of Zidon. That's what it says. King Uzziah here in the Bible tells us that. All that's not too bad, you say? Well, first of all, he's unequally yoked. That's what he is. That was the beginning of his fall. Let's move on. What do you think Jezebel wanted most of all? She wanted the prophets of God dead. Why? Because with the prophets of God there, there was always a chance that people could return to him. If she could eliminate them, they would all follow the God she wanted them to follow. And she would have power over them. That's the way the false gods work. If you can't get the people under your thumb, then you'll have no God. You know, what's funny is Obadiah, which was King Ahab's own housekeeper, if you will, he oversaw the things of Ahab's house. He hid a bunch of prophets of God and fed them and clothed them. Why? Because Jezebel was going to kill him. And he wouldn't allow that. He was like, man, I got an evil king here. He's got an evil wife. And I'm not going to allow the prophets to be snuffed out. But I want you to see something about Jezebel. Don't take my word for it that she was evil. Look at verse 33. It says, and Ahab, in chapter 16, verse 33, it says, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Can you figure out why he did that? Now let's face it. He makes his own decisions. But sometimes you might want to do something, but you're not quite sure how to do it. It's the methods you're looking for. How do I get this done? You see? You remember Naboth's vineyard? I want Naboth's vineyard. But he didn't know how to get it. It was there. He could see it out of his window. I don't know how to get that. I want that. Guess who figured it out for him? It was Jezebel. Well, why would I say that about Jezebel? Look at chapter 21 and verse 25. But there was, again, it's repeated, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to the work of wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom, what? Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Man, does she... Oh, you want that? I'm going to get you so riled up, you'd do anything I ask you to. You'd do anything I tell you to. And that's exactly what happened. He went right along with it. What else does it say in the Bible about Jezebel? Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, if you will. A little study here on some of these characters. Now, this is talking about the church of Thyatira, or Tyra. And it says, notwithstanding, 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That's going to come into play here in a minute. So we've got Ahab. Now, would you call him an evil king? Bad. Would you call Jehoshaphat a good king? Good. Listen, what about these prophets? Talked about some prophets that King Ahab. Now, what prophets would he be able to gather? If the godly prophets were in hiding, what prophets is he going to gather up? Well, he's going to gather up the ones that support him. They're the only ones that are going to come out of hiding. Well, what other prophets? Ahab wants to talk to me? All right. Gone. Jezebel's there. You don't think Jezebel's here? Jezebel's right here, coaxing him. Get Jehoshaphat invited to here so you can get him involved in your war. I'm going somewhere with this. Follow me, please. These prophets are not the same prophets that Elijah slew. Right. They're dead. They were the prophets of Baal, and they were prophets of another false god. But these prophets, it doesn't say that they were the prophets of Baal or any other god. This is a whole new group of prophets. It had been several years since Elijah slew those prophets, and a whole new gang of prophets had come in. We're going to find out that these were a mixed group. They liked to mix religion to seduce. That's what's happening here. He gathers them all up, and these prophets are prophets of, I can't find the verse, but they're prophets of Ahab. They're his prophets. The Bible even says they're his prophets, not God's. Then we're going to go one more place, or one more person, Micaiah. I don't know that that's how you pronounce it, but there it is. And Ahab says of him, one man, the son of Imlah. There's no other mention of this prophet in the Bible by name. He may be mentioned without a name. I don't know. There are other Micaiahs in the Bible. Not this one. He's the only one that's mentioned as a son of Imlah. Why is it that Ahab doesn't like him? What did they say? Let's turn back there again. Chapter 20 and verse 8. 21 verse 8. I'm sorry. Am I in the right place? 22 verse 8. And it says, I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. Like I said, there's no other place that this prophet is mentioned in the Bible. It's been 3 years since there's been war. There's been peace. If there's peace, why is he talking this way about the prophet of God? The pastor read a scripture this morning. I think it's Acts. I can't be certain. Let me see. Acts chapter 20 and 31. And man, as soon as he read that scripture, it hit me. It's been 3 years, remember. 20 and verse 31, I think it was. It says here, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I wonder if that wasn't Micaiah, those 3 years. Warning Ahab, listen, your sins are going to catch up. There's a judgment day. And Ahab, he didn't like it. Wow. Moving on. So I've introduced the cast of characters. There's one more individual we're going to see in a minute. But I want to let you know that Jehoshaphat had already figured out these prophets weren't the prophets of God. Look what he says there in verse 7. He said, Jehoshaphat said, is not there a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Why is he asking that? Didn't they claim that the Lord would give Ahab victory? Well, he's asking that because he realized right away. I want you to look at something. Look at verse 6. What do they say? They say, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hand. Look at the spelling of the word Lord. Capital L, little O, little R, little D. Look at what Jehoshaphat asked for. Is there not a prophet of the Lord? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. Yep. He's saying, I don't care about your gods. Can I hear from the God? Amen. I can't buy what they're saying. I trust my God, the Jehovah. Can you find me a prophet that'll speak for him? Micaiah was the man. Got two kings, a man, and we've got some prophets that I refer to, and don't be upset with me. I'm going to call them apes. Why do I call them apes? I want to read you some things, some characteristics about apes. Bear with me. It does come from a science point of view. It says, the chimpanzee shares 99% of its DNA with man. 99%. Wow, that's striking. Even their social behavior and interactions with other apes bear striking resemblance with humans. Apes are very intelligent creatures, second only to man. Earlier, it was believed that using tools was only a human ability. However, it's been documented, and they've seen chimpanzees fishing for ants with twigs. That requires intelligence. There's been a huge amount of research on apes, and it's been found that they can hunt with spears and communicate with sign language. And we just thought they were monkeys. Listen, they are so skillful that even in captivity, they have been observed to outperform college students in basic memory tests. I hope y'all ain't planning on going to college. Listen, chimpanzees are the most intelligent ape there is, and they can be taught to do several tasks that human beings can do. They can even be taught to communicate. That's why I call them apes. They figured out something. You know, we can't beat them. Elijah showed us that we can't beat them. But what we can do, if we want the people on our side, is we can ape them. That used to be, when I was a boy, that term was prevalent. We didn't use imitate, we didn't use mimic, we used ape. Look at John, ape and Tom. But they don't use that anymore, but that's why I'm calling them apes. They're apes. That's why I titled the message, The Man or the Apes. Well, there it is. So we've got all our characters. Now I want us to look at some things concerning these scriptures. That's my intro, by the way. You say Ahab was evil, and he was. We know the end of this story. He dies. At a venture, a soldier pulls back a bow, lets an arrow fly. And that's not, at a venture doesn't mean that on a whim. He was aiming. He didn't know if he could make the distance or not, or if he could hit the mark or not. But he shot that arrow on purpose. But at a venture, he did that. And Ahab was struck and killed. We know the end of the story. But how did we get there? Did God kill Ahab just for taking Naboth's vineyard? Did God kill Ahab just because, I don't know, he was mopey? Because that's what, you know, basically what the story is saying, that he was very heavy and very displeased. He's upset. I didn't get what I wanted. No, let's look at exactly how he interacted with the men of God. 17:1, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quickly go over these interactions from chapter 16 to where we're at. Elijah told him there would be no rain for these years. No response. No response from Ahab. 18, verse 19 through 20 and 36 through 40. When false prophets were gathered against Elijah and God proved himself that he is Lord, no response. It sort of reminds me that there was a joke. Let me tell you. There was a preacher, and he was visiting preacher, and he is up there preaching, and he sees the back doors open up, you know, and he looks, and he sees the man come in, and he sees him come back by the door with an arm full of coats, dead of winter. Got an arm full of cuts. He walks out the door. He says, hey, folks, he's stealing your coats. No response. He goes back to preaching. He thought, well, maybe they know what's going on. I don't know. Goes back to preaching. He looks up again, and the man's come back in again. He's got a whole other arm of coats now, taking them out. And he says, folks, they stealing your coats. No response. So he goes on, he gets done with his message, and altar call, no response. And service ends, and one little young man comes running into the service area. They stole all our coats!
And they said, what? And he said, well, I tried to tell you. That's exactly how Ahab was here. He's being warned. He's being told. Let's learn to another one. Chapter 20, verse 13, when the prophet told him that God would give him a victory over Syria. He questioned it. He talked about it. And the prophet even said that this is why. This is why God's going to give you a victory. That thou shalt know that I am the Lord. God's getting a little bit closer now. This isn't just a general thing. I'm letting you know this is the reason I'm doing this. I want you to know I'm God. He does it again, not even a year later. The man of God came to him again and said, you're going to get a second victory over Syria. Why? That ye, you, thou is more general, ye shall know that I am the Lord. This isn't the people. It's about you, Ahab. Then he goes on in chapter 20 and verse 35 through 43, we see a certain man of the sons of the prophets. Hey, the Jews believe that this was Micaiah. I don't have any way of proving that or know that. But he says, see, he let Ben-Hadad go when he won the second time. He let the king of Syria go. He was supposed to kill him. I want you to see in verse, I don't know if I can find it or not. Anyways, it says that the prophet there said, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction. Therefore, thy life shall go for his life. God says, you know what? You didn't do what I told you to do. Now it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your life. His life, your life for his. It wasn't for you to determine what I wanted done. But he set on doing evil, remember. 21, no, by the way, again, no response. He just went down mopey. And that's when he stole Naboth's vineyard by lying about him and killing him. Needed something to cheer him up, I guess. Well, that sounds familiar. 21, verse 19 and 20, it says, when Elijah, this is the last time, when Elijah rebuked him and said, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And he also rebuked him for selling himself to do the work of evil in the sight of the Lord. Would you say he had an opportunity to repent? Is God unjust? I think he made every chance. He gave him every opportunity to turn from his wicked ways. And I don't doubt one bit that had he done that, it would have worked out differently for him. I'll show you something in the Word. I want you to see chapter 21 and verse 27. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words, that's the words that Elijah just said to him, heard those words that he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Wow, that's a merciful God. Do you think Ahab was putting on a front here? I can't say. I'd like to say he was, but because it would go with the message, but I can't say that. He might have genuinely had some remorse. And God said, you know, for that little bit of remorse, I won't let it happen to you. But it will happen to your son. Let's move on with the message. I want you to see that there's no mistake. Ahab was afforded many opportunities to repent. Don't feel sorry for him. He chose evil. And I'm sad for that. We shouldn't be happy that he died. Because he's in hell. According to God's word, he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. And he never repented. Matter of fact, he boasts that he's going to get away with this one, this war that's coming up. I'm going to change clothes with Jehoshaphat, remember? And then they'll go after him and I'll come home. That's sad.
Let's go back to our story. Jehoshaphat wants to hear the whole counsel of God. So he says, send for that Micaiah. Ahab sends for him. While he's being summoned, I want you to see something. This is going on today. And this is why I'm talking about this, because I want you to understand there are apes trying to lure you from the man of God. And we've got a man of God. I fear we've lost some people to the apes. While he's being summoned, the last character I want to talk about comes onto the scene. His name is Zedekiah. He's one of the false prophets. Now, this Zedekiah, trust me, is not to be confused with any other Zedekiahs in the Bible. Not one. He is a Zedekiah all by himself. He is the son of Chenaanah, or whatever, however you say that. I'm not Hebrew. He makes horns of iron, and he comes before the kings who now have seated themselves at the gate of Samaria. This is a place of judgment. You know, interaction. And he says to the kings, he comes to them and he says, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. That is a much more forward statement than the one that the other prophets gave to him in verse 6, which was so ambiguous, I didn't even know which king was going to win. Look at it again. Verse 6. They say, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Look at the word it. Can you see that it's italicized? That means that the translators put that in there so it would make sense in the English language. It belongs there for English-speaking people. But that it, if you take it out, read it. For the Lord shall deliver into the hand of the king. It is way more ambiguous now. Which king? You know, they did that on purpose. Just like Pharaoh's false prophets did it on purpose. They'll say things that are so ambiguous that if it turns out differently than what they had led the people to believe it would, they could say, well, see, that's not how I meant that. I meant the king of Syria. You took it as it meaning you. That's not my fault. That's your fault. That's what they do. But that's part of another section over there. Let's look at some things. Now, the name Zedekiah means righteousness of Jehovah. There's some purposeful deception going on here now. Purposeful deception. Righteousness of Jehovah. Horns in the Bible generally speak to strength. If you look back over in Deuteronomy 33:17, Moses is speaking to the tribe of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he says the same thing. He talks about horns. They're going to push the inhabitants of the land out with horns. Do you think that's a coincidence that he's quoting that? No. Ephraim, actually Samaria, is in the half-tribe of Manasseh's territory. The half-tribe on the east of Jordan, that's where Samaria is. Do you think it's a coincidence that this priest, no, he studied the book. He knows the scriptures. And he knows how to use them to convince people otherwise. Sounds like somebody else we know called Satan. The master deceiver. The master ape. And I'm not meaning disrespect. Micah wouldn't even do that. I know he's powerful, but I'm saying that's what he does. Okay. A false prophet comes forward bearing a godly name, using props, which God did allow his prophets to do, and quotes scripture. What's that sound like? Sound like contemporary Amen. Christians?
Amen.
A preacher that'll get up and use scripture, but take it out of context, lift it, make it say something that it's not intended to say.
Amen.
Because that's what the people want to hear. Because I assure you, that's what Ahab wanted to hear. He wanted to hear, oh yeah, tell me. But it wasn't, oh, you're so nice to me. I love you. I hate Micaiah. He'd never say that to me. Well, because you're in sin. How can the man of God speak nice to you if you're in sin? If you got sin in your life, you need to be rebuked. You don't need to be praised. But he didn't want that. He had set his heart on hearing these apes. Moving along, I want you to hear what one preacher had to say about false prophets. There is no surer proof of a false prophet than his prophesying smooth things and suffering the careless and hypocrite to sleep in their sins. That's a false prophet.
Amen.
Moving on. Now the rest of the prophets, they chant again, but here comes Micaiah. Now, granted, listen, I got to see something. I blew past this the first time I read it, and then I read it again, and I was like, oh, wow. The servant that went to go get Micaiah, he says, I pray you, say what the apes said. It'll be in your favor. It's believed that Micaiah was being held in prison at this particular point by Ahab, because Ahab knew exactly where to go send to get him. And if you look further on in the scriptures, it says that send him back to the keeper of the prison. Send him back to him. And then feed him with bread of affliction. But he's saying, Micaiah. Maybe you like Micaiah. And he's like, Micaiah, come on. Say what the apes said. It'll be good for you. I want you to see what Micaiah says. He says in verse 15. No, verse 13, I'm sorry, of chapter 20. He says, 22. Verse 13 of chapter 22. I keep going to 20. Must be another message there. He says, and the messenger that, let me get down to the bottom. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them that speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Remember that. Because now he's in front, he's been brought in front of Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And this is what happens. Look at here. 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, this is Ahab, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. He said what the apes said. I thought he said he was going to say what the Lord said. You think the Lord wanted him to say it? I think he did. See, Jehoshaphat was in a place that he didn't belong. He was where he shouldn't have been. He's not the king of Israel. He's the king of Judah. And when it said that he went down to Samaria, that's exactly where he went. He went down in his spiritual walk with God. Because there's no record of Jehoshaphat consulting God whether or not his son should marry Ahab's daughter, which we find out in Chronicles that's what happened. There's no record of Jehoshaphat consulting the prophets Jehu in Israel, should I go to Samaria and hang out with Ahab, that wicked, evil, God-hating, God-prophet-hating king? There's no record of it. And I believe God is setting it up here so that Jehoshaphat will go to battle with him. Because there's a lesson that Jehoshaphat needs to learn. It's not always the evil man that God's trying to get the attention of. Sometimes it's the good man that makes a poor decision. And I'm telling you, I am one of those men. I've done it. And God's got to get my attention to get me back on track. And I believe that's exactly why that was mentioned. There's no other reason for that to be mentioned there. There's no other reason for Micaiah to say that. What does Ahab say to him? He rebukes him and says, how many times, Messiah, adjure thee, solemnly request from you the truth? Micaiah has never lied to him in the past ever. That's why he hated him. Because he told him exactly what God said. It's a mock rebuke to gain the trust of Jehoshaphat. That's what it was. You see, he's a liar. I got to beg him to tell me the truth. There's no reason for you to trust Micaiah, Jehoshaphat. Trust my apes. So then, Micaiah, he is a true prophet. Why? Because he goes on. He says, "And I saw all Israel," in verse 17, "scattered upon the hills as sheep having not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." Does that sound ambiguous? I assure you, Ahab understood exactly what he meant. Look at his response in verse 18. "The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" He knew exactly what Micaiah was saying. He knew Micaiah was saying, you're going to go to battle and you're going to get killed and Israel will have no king because you're going to be dead. He knew it and he didn't like it. So we go on. He goes on to talk about the vision that God gave him concerning this. As the Lord, Jehovah, sat on his throne, which was far above the two kings. He rules the day and the night. He sets up kingdoms. He sets up kings. He brings them down. Can I ask you something? And I'm going to close. We talked about King Ahab, wicked, evil. That's a sinner. If you die in your sins, unrepentant as Ahab, there's only one outcome. God has no choice. You made the choice. You will spend eternity in hell. Now, people will argue, well, that's not a real place. I don't really care what you say. The Bible says it's real. It says that you'll be burning. It says there's a worm. It says that, and you're not going to have any friends. I don't recall the rich man crying out from hell saying, hey, my friends are down here and we're having a party. No, he didn't even talk about anybody in hell. He talked about his brothers. Don't let them come here. I don't care if I don't have any family here. I don't want them to come here. That's where you're going to be. I don't know what happened there. It's the devil. That's what happened. Are you, you say, no, I'm not, I'm no Ahab. I'm not evil like that. Are you listening to the apes? Are you listening to apes that'll tell you, it don't really matter what church you go to. It don't matter what man you listen to. It don't matter about anything you do. As long as you're good. And you believe there's a God, you'll be just fine. That's what the apes were telling Ahab. You say, I'm no Ahab. I'm not evil like that. Or are you Jehoshaphat? Are you a Jehoshaphat? You're a good, godly person that began at some point, and it doesn't say when, to not listen to the man of God. And what happened was he didn't consult God first before letting his son marry Jezebel's daughter. He didn't consult God first when Ahab slew a bunch of animals for him to come and have a feast in Samaria with. So what happened from that point, because he wasn't doing his daily Bible reading and his daily praying and his daily seeking God's face, he fell into sin. He began to listen to the apes. Look again. I want you to see what he says. Ahab asks him, will you go to battle with me? in verse 4. And this is what he replies. This is what happened when you walk away and you don't listen. You don't listen. You hear that man preaching. But you're not listening to what he's saying. Because if you were listening, the Holy Spirit could use it. But this is what he said. He gets to a point where he says, I am as thou art. My people is thy people. My horses is thy horses. That's not the case. Read chapter 18 and 19 of 2 Chronicles. It wasn't the case at all. He was nothing like Ahab. And Judah was nothing like Israel. Judah had gotten to a point where he actually sent teachers out to teach the people the law. And it was so, it so impacted that country that God stayed the other countries from even warring with them because of their fear of that godly people. There was nothing like them. But he began to believe it because he was listening to the apes. Ahab himself was an ape. Well, I'm no Jehoshaphat. I'm no Ahab. Are you the ape? Are you the one telling people there's no difference? Are you the one looking at things on the internet that are not godly? Are you the one that's saying, I don't need this Bible? I can use any other version I want. I call them diversions. Because that's all they do. They divert people from heaven. Are you the one telling people that? Because if you are, well, that brother, well, I know he don't believe exactly like we do doctrinally, but you know, he's got a good book out. He's an ape. I'm not mentioning names. I'm saying he's an ape. He's mimicking the man of God. Amen. Are you the ape? I pray we don't have any apes in our church. I know it's hard to live. It's not hard to live the Christian life. We make it hard. It's easy to live the Christian life if we'll trust God. It's hard to live it when you don't trust Him. But are you the ape? Are you willing to sell yourself to the work of evil? Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please. I don't know that this message impacted anybody. I don't